What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
What, am I missing something?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The reality is, humans are humans are humans, and that's never going to end.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
It's a big, big deal.
Hello. You speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
60% of the time, it works every time.
I've done the math on this. We've talked about it on this show before.
That's a fact.
You'll learn a little something about yourself.
That's us, dude.
That's why we're radio show hosts.
That's right.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Let's do this. Discussing issues that matter to you. Finding real answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now, here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Scoop Keats with me today. Dan is off. Bill Hyde joining us in just 1 minute, but happy Monday to everybody. Thank you for
happy
joining
Monday,
us. And thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, man.
I should say Scoop.
Yeah, it's all right.
Scoop, Dave, whatever. It all works, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's get right into it. We got a lot to cover during this first hour. We're bringing Bill Hyde back, who is from Heirloom Productions. And first off, Bill, what is next when it comes to audio theater?
Well, what's next? We've got a whole lineup of stuff that's happened, all historical stuff. We're going to be talking about the Saxons next in one of our productions. And so we've kind of been jumping around a little bit with a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But it's interesting to me that as we go through and do the research for all these historic programs, everyone's got this basically, you go back in time, and everyone has basically the same problem that we have today. So, you know, the Angles and the Saxons and all of the folks that we're working on different, we're working on the Huguenots, they all have the same issues. And so it's just interesting that very little has changed, and the more you study history, the more you realize that people have this one basic problem. It's like a Dilbert thing, right? They're people. And and as long as we're people, we are going to have that problem.
Yeah, so no, that's very true.
It's fascinating.
No, we were talking even before we came on air. So two things, A, I want to mention real quick. We are thinking, and we haven't got this passed by anybody yet, so just take this with a grain of salt, but we're trying to figure out how maybe on one of our sister stations or even KLZ at late at night, how do we get audio theater on the radio in Denver.
Well, cool. Well, yeah, we can work on that with you.
Okay, that's what I that was my first question. I figured you'd say yes, and I was thinking, you know, that would be really.
I've been thinking about that for about 6 months.
It'd be really cool. So we will we'll be in touch on that, Bill. I think that might be something we could at least start the process on. Those of you listening out there, by the way, if you've never heard Heirloom Productions and audio theater, you're missing out. It's a treat. It's the best, and Bill, I'm not saying this just because you're on with me today, but it is the best audio theater that you'll listen to in my book, period, bar none. You need to buy the CDs and listen.
I think it's better than some movies, and a lot of movies.
It's really, really good. So those of you out there listening, if you've not done it yet, pick it up. And Bill, real quick, give yourself a plug. Where do people get the CDs? How do they find the stories?
They can go to heirloomaudio.com, or heirloom audio, as some people say.
Okay.
Heirloomaudio.com. And there's all of our stuff there that they can check out. And there's, I don't know, what do we have? 8 of them now, I think, that when we're working on a number of new ones. So we're trying to do 3 or 4 a year. And sometimes it gets a little difficult. You know how cranky actors and stuff are sometimes? Producers and sound guys are the same way.
Really?
Jeez,
see, they're not like radio show hosts. We just have to come on and do what we do every day because we don't have any choice. It is what it is.
Oh, my goodness. In dealing with these people, they're like roofers, right? If you ever somebody come and do your roof, you never know what to expect, and it's the same thing with sound design, folks.
Interesting.
Don't know what to expect.
Interesting. That's funny.
Yep.
All right, so the other thing we were talking about, so the second part of our topic before we came on air today was just talking. What you just said was exactly what we were talking about even in the hallway before we came on air, just talking about you know, American history, how much longer do we as a country have? What made me kind of talk about it was I watched over the weekend the last movie of Star Trek, which, by the way, I had not seen, and not that I'm a Trekkie, but I've seen typically all of them, but this one I had not seen, so I thought, well, I'll just sit down and, you know, I'll spend whatever it is, hour and a half or whatever, and I'll watch it. It was worth watching, but we got to talking about, you know, that is depicted, I don't know, 250 years in the future, and will we as a country even be around 250 years from now? And I said, you know, unless we change some things and the way we're doing them now, the answer is no, Bill. We won't exist 200 years from now as a nation.
I think it'll be very tough for us. One of the things that we talk about in history a lot as we look at the Roman Empire, and I think that's a good one to go to check out and just see what are the likenesses and, you know, what are the parallels. But one thing that's fascinating to me is, you know, there were millions of Romans, and at the time of the invasions, and this is sort of, you know, from Constantine on. And so you're dealing with these Burgundians, the Goths, and the Vandals, and so forth. But there, the truth of it is there was only tens of thousands of these guys that really ended up coming in, and there were millions of Romans. But you know what, guys? What happened was the Romans that were part of the Republic, and it became something similar to what the commentary just mentioned. It became so... Before we came on,
right.
There was a five-minute commentary.
Yep, yeah.
And I think what happened was it's the same kind of thing. There just wasn't – you had this huge bureaucratic state, and there was no way to get justice, and folks gave up. And so what the problem was, and I think we'd have the same problem, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of great Americans, and there's no – I would never argue that point. But what happens is you get this dissipation with respect to what am I willing to defend?
Mm.
And I think what happened with Rome, guys, is people is these folks marched in, but there wasn't anybody that was willing to stop them because there was – and here's the key. There was nothing in Rome worth defending.
Oh, boy.
And there's a book – and I can't remember the name exactly of the title of the book, but it's by a guy named Salvian the Presbyter, written at the time of some of these invasions. And there was in Trier, France, for example, there was this little town, and they had a Colosseum, and they were invaded at the time during like a football game. It'd be like the Broncos are playing, right?
Okay.
So imagine Goths and Visigoths coming into town. And Salvian said that you couldn't hear the cry of the people in the town being murdered and raped because the roar of the crowd at the Colosseum was so loud. So here's these people. They want to, they wouldn't even go stop the forces. They were busy with their games and their breads and their circuses and all those things. So we got the same issue. It's coming.
Very well said.
That's crazy because you started the whole this whole segment saying that everyone's got the same problems over and over and over. And it's funny that you say, you know, nobody protected Rome. And it's that, I mean, there was still something in Rome to protect us. They just didn't feel like it was worth protecting. Kind of like now, the whole anti-American thing. I mean, on the 4th of July, I saw a lot of it. Like, I'm not feeling very patriotic. And I kept asking all my liberal friends, why aren't you feeling patriotic? And nobody had a really good answer other than I just don't feel like it, and because, you know, because Donald Trump is a jerk or something.
Right.
And
good answer,
by the way.
I just
thought that was like, well, what has he done? And when you really get into it, nobody really has a good answer.
Good point.
But
good
point. Nobody wants to defend what we have.
Okay, so I'm going to throw something out to you, Bill. We got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, I want to throw this at you, and I'll be careful in how I phrase this, but I want to know, in your thought process, does liberalism in and of itself kill entities? In other words, does it kill church? Does it kill countries in things along those lines? And what I mean by liberalism, I'll explain it when we come back. But the true, you know, being totally on the other side of the fence when it comes to the conservative viewpoint, again, church, country, and so on, I want to ask that question as soon as we come back. So again, Bill Hyde is with us, Heirloom Productions. You can find him at Heirloom Productions. Just Google it. You'll find it real easy. We'll stick it up on our Facebook page as well. In the meantime, Ryan Wood is coming up next. Now, some of you out there may be struggling financially. Not everybody is doing well economically speaking, and if you're one of those, Ryan Wood may be the answer. If you've got creditors calling you, you don't know what to do, you've had a divorce, lost a job, things along those lines, Ryan would love to help. Now, Is he going to force you into bankruptcy? Of course not. He's going to look at all of the alternatives and what's the best option for you. But Ryan has the answers. Great guy. You need to talk to him. 720-465-1406. Ryan Wood, give him a call today and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Ryan Wood, KLZ's expert bankruptcy and real estate attorney, has spent his entire career helping people. He really loves this stuff. Ryan genuinely wants you to understand these complicated legal issues so you can make informed decisions that will help you move past your financial problems and get your life back. It doesn't matter how your money problems started or what has happened in your life that brought you to consider bankruptcy. Ryan will help you. When you find yourself screening all your calls because you know it's a bill collector, call Ryan Wood. When opening your mail makes you break out into a cold sweat, call Ryan Wood. When you get anxiety while checking your bank account, call Ryan Wood. Call Ryan Wood Law at 720-465-1406. That's 720-465-1406 today to find out how he can help you.
All right, Affordable Interest Mortgage is coming up next. Kurt Rogers, who will join us in just a little bit for the Monday Mortgage Minute. That's 5 o'clock every Monday. We'll get some questions answered then. But anything you need when it comes to your mortgage, and Kurt will specialize and help you with self-employment loans, which not everybody does mortgages along those lines. So Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Call him today and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
How do you make sure you get the lowest rates for either a refinance or purchase, or getting the right loan for you and not the one they want to sell you? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We have been offering our low rates since 2001. Loan programs to eliminate mortgage insurance and save you hundreds to thousands. Paperless loan application, quick loan pre-approval so your offer is accepted on your dream home. Purchases with only 1% down and no mortgage insurance. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Get cash out for that home improvement without having to restart your term. Home of the Asset Manager Mortgage, where you can pay off your home in half the time without changing one penny of your spending habits. Call 720-895-0500 to find out how. Take AIM. CFPB stated that the consumer has spent over $13 billion in fees on their mortgage that they may have saved had they shopped. Call us now and start saving. Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender. Take AIM.
Hi, join me, Jenna Ellis, host of Attorney Client Privilege, as I'll be broadcasting live from the Western Conservative Summit. Get your tickets by going to westernconservativesummit.com and be sure to stop by the KLZ broadcast booth and say hi.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Bill Hyde with us today from heirloomaudio.com. Make sure I say that right. So H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M audio.com. Find them there. Great stuff. You will not be disappointed. So, Bill, I left you with, is liberalism part of the cause in nations in general, and even organizations like churches falling by the wayside?
I'm going to shock you and say probably no.
Okay.
This is sort of one of those definitional issues, isn't it? I mean, the word liberal used to mean something very, very different than it means today. Words change. You know, I was reading, sometimes just for fun, looking at some old meanings of words, and the word silly used to be affectionate. So people would say, my silly wife, and they just meant that they love their wife. And you wouldn't say, your wife is silly today. And years ago, the idea of farming was associated not with the land, but with rather, in some sense with the land, but with tax collecting. So farmer meant tax collector because of the business of tax farming in Rome, in ancient Rome. Yeah.
Okay.
So words change. And I think we have to be careful a little bit of it. Guys like John Locke would have considered themselves classic liberals, and my guess is, and we had in the last video that we did, that Locke's second treatise was probably on Jefferson's desk when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. So we have to be careful about, you know, as conservatives, entrenching ourselves and saying we're going to sort of defend some standard that may be moving, right? We want something. I'm going to continue to make the case for something fixed. So I would more like to say this is a war between humanism and Christianity.
Ah, better way of saying
that
it.
To
yeah,
me
definitely.
Seems to really be yeah. a definitionally, yeah. because I think a lot of people who are liberals are really spot on some things, right? Let me give an example, and maybe we'll get everybody wound up and mad. But we've got our own website, Off the Grid News, and it's sort of full of the same kind of stuff that you believe in and okay. that I believe in, and we talk about free enterprise and land and stuff. And I sometimes we'll have these things where we say, "Look, what happens if you own private property? Can you do anything you want on your property?"
No.
Everybody rushes to say, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." But if you got a steer that dies in a creek or something, you can't leave that steer
nope.
there.
Nope.
Right? You
right.
got to pull it out because you got neighbors. And you got somebody downstream from you. You don't have the right to poison them. So there are limits to our freedoms. And I think that's a
good point.
Really cool and interesting discussion. How do we then go about establishing the limits to freedom? And, we talked the last time when I was on, are you completely free? Is
right.
someone completely
right.
free? What does liberty mean? So I think if we're going to solve some of these problems, at least a good idea would be to try to get back to definitional ideas. And at least we'll agree what we're arguing about rather than sort of everything's just floating around as concepts that are changing constantly.
So, I'd agree with that. No, I think, by the way, you said it better than I. Well said. I like the idea of saying, and I think you knew where I was headed when I talk, liberalism and what does it do to countries and churches and so on. And if not kept in check, any idea, anything out of balance starts to ultimately change the entire makeup of an organization, a country, what have you. I like your definition better, though, just talking about humanism versus, a creator God and where do we come from and where do our rights come from and all those different things. And really the same could be said even inside of the church. And we start to get away from the core values of a particular doctrine and we allow other things to enter in, i.e. liberalism or what have you, then that thing starts to get corrupt and it's no longer like it used to be.
Yeah, if you start out with something like saying, by what standard? That's always such a good way to begin a discussion because we're going to say, what's the yardstick we're going to use to determine anything?
Yeah, great point.
And if folks think that we're all on the same page with respect to a yardstick, even something like logic would carry different, in other words, my logic and Aristotle's logic probably would be very, very different things. So my approach to logic would probably be a little bit different than his. So I'm not sure we could even agree on what the laws of logic actually are. We could all kind of do the non-contradiction thing, but there are some things about logic that, for example, if we say three things are one thing, that's Aristotle's going to go, no, it's not. But as Christians, you're going to try to explain how three things are one thing,
and the Trinity of God himself.
And I can understand my Muslim friends that really sort of, struggle with that a little bit because it does call for definitions. And you can't just pound on the table and say, Trinity, Trinity, Trinity.
Right.
You have to be a gracious neighbor to everybody, and you've got we owe the world an explanation. And I think the worse we get at explaining what all of these things are, the more I don't blame those guys. I don't blame liberals for getting mad at conservatives. I don't blame, Muslim friends for getting mad at us because we haven't articulated our position very well.
Oh, that's a great point.
And sometimes we'll argue, like if Trump, for example, I voted for Donald Trump. I'm just saying it out. I'm not vouching for the guy's sanity always or anything. I'm just saying I felt like he was the best guy for
agree.
The situation.
You and I are one and the same. Do I agree lock, stock, and barrel with every single thing he does? Quite frankly, Bill, I've never believed lock, stock, and barrel any president we've had. So honestly, that goes without saying as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but here's what happens. And at least you have the guts to say that. What happens is, like with folks, maybe we'll use Alex Jones, for example, back Donald Trump. And if Trump ever messes up, and if you put everything on the line for him, then if he does mess up, how are you going to explain the mess up? Are you going to be honest? Or is your ego going to take over and say, I picked this right guy, and he's right no matter what he does? And I think that's what gets conservatives
in trouble.
Faith.
And
that's blind
faith.
People...
Right there.
Yeah, that's
it's
arrogance
blind
and blind faith,
and...
Bill. And you're right. I think that is what gets some of us on the conservative side of the fence in trouble sometimes is we're not discerning enough to say, that's my guy. And I love him dearly, but he just made a big mistake in what he just did. And by the way, and Bill, you and I both know this, as much as I love, you know, my kids, my spouse, you know, even folks around the radio station here when we work together, there are things that we just are not going to agree upon, period. Even as husband and wife, does that mean you love your wife or your spouse any less? Of course not. But you're not going to agree lock, stock, and barrel all the time. Am I right?
But on the other side of that coin, a lot of people will just blatantly, flat out, no matter what the president does right, they hate him because he's all the phobias, you know?
Right.
And they hate him. It doesn't matter what he does. He's going to be a fool.
Yeah, and I think both extremes, and Bill, you would agree with this, both extremes are wrong.
I think people dig in. You know, there's so you could write a book about this. Like, it's water cooler. It's digging in at the water cooler.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
great point.
We've got water coolers where my office is, and I've heard people take positions that maybe they shouldn't take, and it just puts you into an alley that you don't want to be in. So you want a standard by which to measure Donald Trump.
Great point.
You would want to use, let's be candid, you'd want to use the same standard to measure Donald Trump that you would to use President Obama, and it's probably not fair to apply different standards to different presidents. We're
going
to be honest people. We need to have a single, and I think we'd get more respect if we did.
I agree. We got a call coming in. Brett, you're up next. What question do you have for Bill?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for taking my call, John. My question is this. I really appreciate the yardstick analogy. I guess I'll phrase it in a question that wouldn't godless conservatism be just as dangerous as godless liberalism, or you might say godless capitalism or godless constitutionalism.
I'll let Bill answer, but Brett, real quick off the top of my head, I would say yes. Bill,
I love the question, Brett. No, I love the question, and I think you're spot on. I think that we can, you know, let's take unbridled capitalism, for example. I think if you say there's no limits to any of this, then you can do anything you want to get a sale, or you can do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we would set standards and say, no, there are things that you can't do in order to get a sale. I can imagine if cocaine was legal, for example, that there would be the, you know, tennis Wimbledon would be some cocaine company. It'd be the Cocaine Open, right? There'd be
some big thing,
and you'd give free samples of cocaine to everybody, and then they would take some home and give them to their kids. And I don't know that it works without some type of governing body. Now, let me just go a little bit further, Brett, because you're mining in a vein of pure gold here. I think the original idea of Christian ethics would be the epitome of government. Wouldn't be in a civil body, it'd be on yourself. Dostoevsky always said, you know, want a better world, go clean up your garage, right?
Right.
Are you governing yourself? Then is your family being governed properly? Then is your church and your school being governed properly? And then maybe is your community being governed properly? And then you can go do something else. We tend to want to go right to the presidency. Right to civil government.
Yeah, great
and
point.
I think that's Skip a misuse the of the word government.
Yep. Great point, Bill. Well said. Brett, what are your thoughts?
Well, I can't agree more about the pure gold vein. There's a lot of directions you could take this question, but I just think that some of the conservative commentators are on a slippery slope when they're saying we need to get back to constitutionalism or conservative, and I used to teach government, and as a believer, I began to see these things, and I thought, you know, capitalism unbridled is a profit motive, and if the individual doesn't know how to govern, in essence, their heart, then they're just going to walk over people, and it's survival of the fittest.
Right, Brett. I can't agree with you more. Go ahead, Bill.
There used to be guilds that controlled industry, for example, and people said, well, we don't like that system because you can't become a diamond merchant, for example, in New York with the Hasidic Jews unless you're involved in that. And let me tell you how the Hasidic Jews, they govern themselves when it comes to this. They don't need outside government. They don't need the civil government. If you display a sense of dishonesty, You can only cheat somebody in their world once, and you're out. And that's the way that it used to be in the world of guilds, where industry governed itself. And if we can get back to some of that, what the old Birch Society thing used to say, and it still does. Less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. So you can't say less government, like a lot of our really hardcore libertarian friends would say, without saying more responsibility. You can't just put grandma in the nursing home.
It's true.
Right? And say the government should pay that and then say the government shouldn't pay for that? I mean, come on.
Right.
If you're going to say we can't pay for grandma's nursing home, the government, then grandma has to move in with you.
Right.
That's how it has to
work. Great point.
Right. Yeah, and so you're touching on some fundamental issues of a society, and literally knowing how God and his wisdom builds and how we and the wisdom of man build, and beginning to discern between the two. I'll wrap up with this comment and then I got to go. I've once heard it said that governments should be submitted to men who are submitted to God.
Amen.
And I thought that summed it up.
Well said, Brett. Well said. Now, and we'll leave it at that. Take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got Greg joining us in just a second. He's got a question as well. Bill Hyde again with us, heirloomaudio.com. Appreciate Bill taking time out of his day today. It's a blast always having him, so we really appreciate it. A little different than what we normally do with Bill, so this is fun. We're really enjoying it. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, Mr. Reuter is up next. Now, when it comes to getting your drains cleaned, scoped, inspected, handled, repaired, you name it, Alfonso, our local franchise owner, is there for you. And some of what we talked about a little bit ago in regards to capitalism and doing the right things and doing it for the right reasons, that's Alfonso at Mr. Reuter. He is that guy. 50 trucks to service up and down the Front Range, 720-235-3625. Give Mr. Reuter a call today. When you do, tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Alfonso Jimenez, local owner of Mr. Reuter, protects your investment in your home by providing permanent plumbing solutions. For homes over 40 years old, your slow drain probably points to bigger problems like cracks in your clay pipes. Instead of recommending a temporary fix, Mr. Reuter hunts for the underlying issue so you may plan for the future. Alfonso understands that your main line represents one of the most expensive systems in your home, so you want to prepare for problems down the road. When you call Mr. Reuter at 720-235-3625, you form a lasting partnership with an experienced local plumber who thinks long-term, just like you do. Offering 20-year warranties on sewer line replacements, Mr. Reuter will still be around weeks, months, even years from now, so you never need to worry about backed-up drains again. Call Mr. Reuter for a complete inspection of your clogged drains at 720-235-3625. It's not just plumbing, it's peace of mind.
Dr. K learned from an early age that he wanted to help people. Growing up, he watched his father start his own hospital, becoming a pioneer in private practice medicine. As an adult, Dr. K, a board-certified physician, dedicated himself to pain management as a highly skilled anesthesiologist at Lutheran Hospital. There, Dr. K assisted countless major back surgeries. Over time, however, he saw that 50% of back surgeries failed in the long term. Dr. K wanted to relieve people's pain permanently, but surgery only treats the spine, not the whole person. Therefore, after 20 years in anesthesiology, he and his wife founded Blissful Med Spa and Denver Spine Institute in 2007. Combining nutrition, exercise, supplements, and hormone therapy with specialized equipment designed to heal your spine through natural means, Dr. K helps you stay healthy without surgery. Speak with Dr. K by calling 303-937-5395. He will relieve your back pain while focusing on your total health and wellness.
Are you getting frustrated with the healthcare shenanigans going on in Washington? Well, I'm here to tell you that you have the opportunity to help fix or remove parts of the failing PPACA or Obamacare. Yes, you can finally have a voice in fixing your healthcare. I'm Dr. Jill Vecchio. You may have heard me on this station over the years explaining the PPACA, Obamacare, and predicting its failure. Unfortunately, pretty much everything we predicted has come to pass, and folks like you are suffering because of it. I was recently invited to the White House to discuss the state of health care with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Tom Price. After the meeting, the folks at HHS asked if I could help them spread the word about their project to get rid of the rules and regulations currently in the healthcare system that are hurting people like you. Businesses, employees, individuals, doctors, insurance agents, everyone. These are aspects of Obamacare that can be eliminated without Congress, without legislation, without executive order. They were enacted by HHS, and they can be removed by HHS. If you know of a rule or regulation that exists, one that has made your life or business more difficult with regard to health care, go to the website regulations.gov. Search PPACA repeal. Click on Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, Reducing Regulatory Burdens and Improving Healthcare Choices to Empower Patients, and submit your story using the comment button. Be as brief and specific as possible. Again, go to the website regulations.gov, search PPACA repeal, and submit your story. You have until July 12 to submit. Your government is ready to listen to you. It's time to stop complaining and start engaging. Go to the website regulations.gov, search PPACA repeal, and make your government work for you.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Scoop Keats with us today as well. Bill Hyde with us from heirloomaudio.com. Greg, if you're still listening in Pine, give us a call back. We'll get you right on air, 303-477-5600. So, Bill, I'll let you continue on. That last caller, by the way, I've even got a couple text messages that came in and said, man, what a great little segment we had there, great commentary and so on, and I want to give you the last word on that.
Well, I think Greg, really, I'd like to hear what he has to say, but as far as Brett's concerned, that's the mine that needs to be gone after. That's the area we need to. What's the conversation going to be about? The conversation should be about the standard we're using for measuring anything, and we act as if we don't need a standard. And I think whether we're measuring conservatism, as you guys have said, I couldn't agree more, or liberalism, we have to have some type of reliable standard that's bigger than us. And I think that's what gives me joy. That's what gives me confidence. That's what gives me the ability to be patient is that standard that I know doesn't change. And I'm told that in the Bible, and I'm sorry, I know that's politically incorrect to just go quote the Bible, but you know, either the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or it isn't,
right?
And I don't blame if you're a liberal, if you're a conservative, if you're an atheist, and you say no, it's not, I can respect that. What I don't respect is this eclectic fruit salad approach to ethics, where we just pick a little bit of this and a little bit of that, little bit of that, as we're going through the line, and it doesn't really make any logical or reasonable sense.
So, you know, that's a great dovetail. Let's talk about that for just a second. We start talking about, you know, ethics, business, in life in general, this is a question I've always had for people, without a standard, and I think this is where you're coming from, without some standard to live by, which in my case and yours, and Scoop, you know, Keith, same thing sitting next to me. You know, ours is you know, Christ and God himself, you know, the scripture, the things that we learn on a regular basis. Those are the things that we guide our lives by. That's the thing that we stand firm on. The question I've got, Bill, is when you don't have that, you could still call yourself a conservative and very much be a conservative, but where's your guiding principles coming from at that point then?
Yeah, what is it that you're trying to conserve? And I think if all we're trying to do is conserve tradition, we have to be very, very careful. And I think that's where our liberal friends are right in calling this out. However, I will say that liberals tend to be more entrenched and conservative, quotes around that word, at defending a tradition. So you got both sides defending something.
That's a good point.
It's like Babel, right? It's like the Tower of Babel, people just keep saying things and they're talking past each other, because they don't have any standard. They don't have any platform or foundation from which to stand. Atlas said, give me a place to stand, you know, and I'll move this and I'll move that, planets and all that, you know. But if you don't have that, what is it that you're going to say? And so if you watch the news, or you listen to the news, or you go on the internet and browse, your most 99.9% of all of this is just white noise. That has nothing to do with reality and no firm foundation from which to have a good discussion. I think we've got to go back and start and saying, all right, what does a good discussion entail?
Great point. No, great point. And I like you, and I've said this on the show many times, and Greg's back. We'll take him in just 1 second. Before we do that, though, I think one thing I've tried to concentrate on our show here with, and it's not that our Constitution and the standards thereby that have been put forth from our founding fathers aren't important. They very much are. But I would rather, you know, Bill, see people say, I would like us as a country to get back to our founding fathers' roots in Christianity and get people turned back to God and have that heart change, more so than, no offense, pounding my fist on the Constitution, because I think the first is way more important than the second. So let's see what Greg has to say. Greg and Pine, you're next.
Yep. Well, it sounds like my comments are becoming more pertinent to the conversation as you guys talk. I honestly believe the Constitution is divinely inspired, divinely guided. The founders were divinely guided. I believe it is a document that is somewhat. Let me just say, there's more to it than just a earthly work.
Agree.
It's a little hard to say what the Constitution can and can't do when it's been so widely disregarded. I do think we need to be diligent about calling for its reinstitution, I would almost say, because people think it's been in effect, but it hasn't. Hmm. When your previous caller seemed pretty thoughtful, Brent, but I did have to disagree with the fact that he said, and maybe this is what you guys are kind of expounding on too. We're all thumping on constitutionalism, conservatism, and trying to bring into Christian values. But I got to tell you, I think God has had his way with the Constitution. I think the founders had written something that was, is really our shortcut as a nation, and it's been a lot more than that to us, but it's been our shortcut too.
Yeah, and Greg, I know what you're saying, and I would agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying, provided that, and this is the thing that I've seen even some, you know, Christian conservatives make, and I'd like to get Bill and Greg's and even Dave's thought on this, but the thing that scares me at times is when we replace our yearning and longing for Scripture itself and staying close to God himself through that means and replacing that with love and devotion for the Constitution. Now, I agree with what you're saying. I do believe that our country and the way it was founded was divinely inspired, and we should never forget that. But I also think that God himself would say, guys, that's great, but don't replace me with that. Bill, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree more with you. I think that I have to be really careful about whether I'm going to call it. I do believe that God's providential hand was on this country. I think you can't look backwards in history and not see the amazing things that have happened to us and how we have been a blessing to other nations. So let's never forget that. But I think it's the Constitution itself is just like the Declaration is obviously worked by men. It's not inspired by God in the sense that the Bible's inspired by God, and so that we do have to make a distinction there. But it's probably one of the greatest documents ever written by some of the greatest men that have ever lived, though their perspectives are very diverse, as we know. But here's your point, John, I think, and this is the point that I would make to Greg. Is it a constitution in the hands of an ungodly people is worthless? In other words, we tried to give folks, and these are people made in the image of God, and so I'm going to be very kind and gracious the way I talk about it. We tried to give Iraqis a constitution.
Right.
And as folks that are more involved in thinking in a Unitarian way, in other words, Islam is more of a Unitarian rather
right.
than a Trinitarian.
Right.
So you don't get the plurality side of this. You get the oneness side of it. And I think the beauty of what we have is we have oneness and we have plurality. And it's that tension that creates the freedom that we have. So it didn't work when we gave those folks in Iraq the Constitution. You have to have a people that are willing to be obedient and willing to understand the Constitution. So and here's a good example, just two quick people. I'm kind of a Reagan guy, and I got myself into the same problem with Reagan, so I was really careful, but I was a young man then. when Reagan did something, I was a, you know, worked for Reagan, and he grew up not too far from where I'm sitting. But when he did something crazy, I'd have to sort of explain it. But Reagan believed in fixed things. Obama could look at the Constitution and say, oh, I'm a constitutionalist. How many times, guys, has he said that?
Right.
He said it over and over and
right.
over.
Right, good point.
So he believes in it. But you know what? He believes that law, he's a Darwinian. He believes that law changes, mm-hmm. and it's a work in process. Reagan, I'm trying to use as another example. I hope that Trump thinks a little bit like this, that law is more fixed. And it's there, and it sets. So who are you going to give the Constitution to? Obama? It's a floating thing out in space ready to be changed. To someone like Reagan, who would be a proponent of what you were saying, John, about the Founding Fathers, he's going to say, no way, this is the original intent.
Right.
We're sticking with this.
Right.
I agree with you. I think that the yardstick or the compass that you were talking about is really, really important here, just because when they drew up the Constitution, they all had the same kind of a moral, ethical compass. Right. And if you look at the moral, you know, the ethics of morals, and you look throughout history, they change, contextually throughout, you know, if you are a utilitarian and, you know, during World War II, you would have given Anne Frank up. And that would, and you would be completely, you would be morally correct because you did what you were supposed to do, dictated by the state, even though from our moral compass and from where we stand, because we have all a very similar
right.
point of view, or, you know, true right. north, we wouldn't have done that. That's the wrong thing to do. So,
good point.
I think drawing the Constitution from that point of view is really important.
Greg, thoughts? I'll give you the closing thoughts before we take a break.
Well, just to bring this in for a landing, I'd just like to say, how often have we made laws that bypass our ability to exercise our Christian virtues.
Yeah.
I think so many of the capitalists, to bring up a point of Brent's and dispute it, so many of the capitalists, there has not been he called it unbridled capitalism. That hasn't happened. And I believe that the good benefits have of a market system, economy, and system have been pretty much snuffed out inadvertently by efforts to make laws that make people so they don't have to have morality in their daily work. They only have to follow the law. And lastly, I want to say, let's just invoke John O'Sullivan's law, which I haven't heard refuted too many times. Any right-wing organization, and he used the word right-wing in not a pejorative term, that is not maintained as right-wing will eventually become left-wing.
Well, and Greg just dropped off. I think he lost connection. Bill, hang tight. We're going to come right back. Warren is up next. We got a call from him. Don't go away. Everybody stay with us. Medi Weight Loss is coming up next. We interviewed Josh and his nurse practitioner on Friday. By the way, had a great interview. So if you're somebody that has struggled to lose weight, maybe even lost weight but struggled to maintain it, Medi Weight may be your answer. Give him a call. Get a free consultation. 303-518-3677, 303-518-3677. Josh, the local owner there, would love to talk to you. It's MediWeight. Give him a call. Tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Josh Powell, local owner of MediWeight Loss, won't sell you some gimmicky trick to get thin quick. After struggling with his own weight loss at one time, Josh understands that reaching your goals isn't easy. You need someone with compassion who will counsel you week by week until you believe you can do this. Schedule an in-person consultation with Josh today. Call Medi Weight Loss at 720-699-2500. He wants to see the satisfaction on your face when you realize your goals really are attainable.
Fix Your RX is up next. This is a great company that will help a lot of you that maybe are taking multiple medications make sure that nothing is countering one another. Now, a lot of you would say, well, my doctor does that. Well, double check and make sure, because in some cases, you may have multiple doctors in the mix, and Fix Your RX will help you in that area. 720-282-1381. Give them a call today and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Adverse reactions to prescription drugs have become the fourth leading cause of death in America. Your trial and error process with your medications must end.
Hi, I'm Bruce Franklin, owner and founder of Fix Your RX, and I'm here to tell you that you no longer need to experience negative side effects. With one simple test, you can find out how your body metabolizes prescription drugs.
Bruce started Fix Your RX because he saw an unfulfilled need among seniors taking multiple medications a day. Statistics show that someone taking at least four different medications has a 50% chance of adverse reactions. Stop being a guinea pig and get it right the first time with Fix Your RX.
With a painless cheek swab, we can identify which prescription drugs are most likely to give you side effects and which ones you can metabolize normally. Instead of trial and error, get the right drug at the right dose right now. Give us a call for your free over-the-phone assessment at 720-282-1381.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Bill Hyde with us from heirloomaudio.com. Warren joining us. Warren, you're our last caller for this hour. What can we do for you, man?
Brothers, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks, up, Warren.
Hey, I'll tell you where liberalism doesn't fit. It doesn't fit in war.
That's true.
And I love the draft war or the draft during LBJ. Hmm. Not even the libs were safe. The downside the downside is the libs are the first ones that lay down and play dead on you. And the rest of them picked it up and took care of business.
Yeah, Warren, you would know firsthand. You did a lot of that for us as a country. We appreciate it very much.
And I'll tell you on capitalism. The way I've always gauged free enterprise and capitalism is on service and cost.
Hmm. True.
You can't get around that.
That's true.
So
good point.
If
good
you
point.
Wanted to define it, there you go.
Yep, good point. Warren, I appreciate it very much. Bill, I got about 2 minutes left before we have to take our last break, and I'll let you go with that because I've just got a quick announcement to make when we come back. I'll give you the last word.
Hey, listen, I think what Warren just said is really, really, you know, spot on. We do have to have, again, back to the standard thing, we have to have a standard by which we can judge the state. I think that's preeminent, or a standard by which we can judge business, right? Otherwise, we're just saying capitalism's good and a collective mentality is bad. We do know this, and I'll try to make this quicker. We do know this, that business, big business, has money to hire lobbyists to create regulations to keep competition away.
True.
So we have to be conscious of the fact that when we talk about capitalism, we're talking about a whole bunch of different things, and free enterprise are kind of, again, all words that need really, really good definitions before we begin the conversation. We're getting back ourselves into a corner again. So I think the ultimate thing is to have that standard by which you can judge anything. If you've got that in your tool belt, if you're Batman and you've got that, you're going to beat the Joker, the Riddler. And what's that guy that always froze everybody up?
Mr. Freeze and Calendar Man.
Mr. Freeze, oh jeez. Yep, yeah, you would defeat all of those enemies if you have got standard on your tool on your utility belt.
Good point. Bill Hyde again. Always enjoy having you. This will be a regular for us. This has been great. Great interaction with our listeners. We appreciate all you guys calling in. Fantastic topic. Bill Hyde again, heirloomaudio.com. And you know what? Go to Heirloom Audio if you've got kids, grandkids, or even, you know, I'm 52 years old and I like listening to it myself. So it's not just a kid thing. Bill, you guys do a great job. Keep up the great work. I'll be in touch. We'll continue to have you back. This has been a real joy. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Bill. Great having you on.
Thanks so much, guys.
You betcha, Bill. Take care. All right, real quick, we'll come right back. We've got a special announcement to make. Front Range Mortgage, if you want to remodel your home, we may have the answer for you that may be in just redoing your mortgage. So lots of ways that can be done. Call Front Range Mortgage, 303-500-1900. Call them today, and when you do, tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
You love your neighborhood, great schools, and close to your friends. Your home is perfect, except for the dated walnut kitchen with avocado appliances, and perhaps the moldy master bath that you're afraid to walk on barefoot, or the creaky deck, or the scary basement. But I digress. If you love your home and never want to move, but want to make it closer to your dreams, we can help. I'm Brian Murphy, owner of Front Range Mortgage, a local, Colorado-only team that's helped hundreds of homeowners to remodel their present, outdated house, turning it into a home of their dreams with without the trauma and expense of an unnecessary move. We have very affordable options to help you remodel your kitchen, bath, even scary basement with no money out of pocket, often even lowering your interest rate to boot. Call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to see how quickly you can be in your own dream home. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com.
NMLS number 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
All right, Mr. Reuter, as I said earlier, anything you need when it comes to your plumbing needs, drains clogged, getting them cleaned up, you name it, they've got you taken care of, and a 20-year replacement warranty on, or sorry, 20-year warranty on sewer line replacements. 50 trucks plus to service you across the Front Range. 720-235-3625. Call them today and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Alfonso Jimenez, local owner of Mr. Reuter, protects your investment in your home by providing permanent plumbing solutions. For homes over 40 years old, your slow drain probably points to bigger problems. Instead of recommending a temporary fix, Mr. Reuter hunts for the underlying issue. When you call Mr. Reuter, you form a lasting partnership with an experienced local plumber who thinks long-term. Call Mr. Reuter today for a complete inspection of your clogged drains. 720-235-3625.
For business owners looking for long-term advertising that actually works, call me, Dan Muir, at 303-927-9220. Our Rush to Reason business partners just keep getting financial return year after year. I'll brag all day long about Jeff Kitty, owner of Larry's Auto, Kurt Rogers, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage, and attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law Firm. Don't tell me radio doesn't work. Call me, Dan Muir, today so you can get your business on the air. 303-927-9220.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We've got a minute left with a very special announcement from Scoop that we want to make.
Yeah. I just want to remind everybody about the Salute to Small Business that's coming up. This is the coolest thing. I really love sharing this whole thing. So Salute to Small Business is 1 week and 2 days from now, Wednesday the 19th, Thursday the 20th. Call in 303-481-1800. That's our front desk. Nominate any small business that you know that you go to that you know that they're it's a good
at what
small
they
business.
Do. That's right.
It doesn't matter what kind of business it is. It's just that they are a good business and they're good people trying to do the right thing. Yep. And this gives them a chance at a really good opportunity of $5,000 in advertising.
$5,000.
That's a huge number.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of advertising. And it could really, really transform your business.
Could change their business. That's exactly right.
So, number again, one more time, 303-481-1800. That's our front desk. Carrie, Marie, me, or Ashley.
Nominate the business.
Somebody will answer.
That's all you got to do.
Nominate the business. It's super easy.
All right. With that, we'll be back. Hour number two coming up next. If you missed any of this first hour, please catch it again tonight between 6 and 7 p.m. If it's close to 7 o'clock, have a fantastic evening. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.